Those of you who don't know Tatjana, let me just give you a little bit of background. She was born in Johannesburg, 1997, is that right? She broke the Olympic record for both the 100-meter and then the world record for the 200-meter breaststroke at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. And suddenly,
yeah, there we go. Nice one.
Suddenly, this lady with a Russian first name and a German surname, because she wasn't Smith then, was all over our pages. We knew who she was. Suddenly, she was our golden girl. And then, unusually for swimmers, you kept going. And you went to the next Olympics, this most recent one, where we did pretty poorly overall, I guess, in Paris, excepting for you. And Tatjana won the medals for us, and we, you know, the whole team came home and they were thumbs up. Another gold, another silver. But I got to ask you that. Did you feel the nation behind you?
Firstly, I want to say hello to everyone, and yeah, just thank you for having me and allowing me to just share my story. If I am a bit rusty, I didn't train 22 years to be on stage, so please. But I definitely did. I think it was very unexpected. I think as a swimmer, it's not really a sport that is well known in South Africa. And no one really knew who I was when I went off to Tokyo and stuff. So for me, I remember after the gold medal there, Bronwyn said to me that your life is going to change. And I was like, no, I doubt it. I swim like no one really knows me, but really just when I came back, the amount of support I received was incredible. To a point where it's actually kind of overwhelming because you didn't expect it. And I'm very much a person that doesn't like being on stage. I like being in the background. So being kind of pushed onto stage and celebrated was very strange, but it was quite surprising. And I am very grateful for it. And I think for Paris, it was just as special because now you had a lot more medal winners. I think with Tokyo, there was only three and two of them were me. So with Paris, it was nice to have a lot more athletes achieve this dream and be able to come back and feel the celebration of the South Africa. So it was very special, and I will always cherish those moments.
Just tell us what goes through your mind in the final. You're in the final. There's only eight of you.
Yes.
And the whole world is watching, and certainly the whole of South Africa is watching. Take us through what happens. You walk into the arena and then?
Yeah. So we kind of, I normally try and time it for us. Everything's on schedule, buses on schedule. So I normally try and time to get to the pool around like 2 hours before I actually start racing. So you have to take into consideration the bus of 45 minutes. Maybe if the bus gets lost, an extra 15 minutes. So it's all these things. But yeah, I try to get there 2 hours before. And then we do a warm up, which is about 2Ks. So it takes about 45 minutes, an hour to really. And then putting our suits on, that also takes a while. But it's always just like trying to stay calm. I think you have to remember that the work has already been done. Now it's just really the part to enjoy, but it's obviously the part that has the most pressure. But I think for us and what I've seen like through my own career is that us as South Africans, we very much have like imposter syndrome. So when you're sitting in a room with eight of the best swimmers, you sitting next to previous world record holders, previous gold medalists, it is so easy to be like, oh, well, I'm not actually that good enough. We don't have the facilities that you have. So you on an advantage. So how am I going to be able to compete with you? Where for me, I've always like walked in the core room saying like, telling myself like, no one really paid like for me to have the seat. I swam those times, so I deserve to be in this race. And no matter if they had gold medals and what, today we're all equal. Today we all have the same opportunity. We're 8 people in a race. Lane one could win the race. So we don't exclude anyone in the race, because really anyone has a chance. So I think it's just changing the perspective. And for me, it was always to stand there and say, and have confidence in my ability as well, to say that I might not have the best facilities. We come from a country, I just came from 8 hours of load shedding, from a country not having the right things, or the pool sometimes being cold, because with load shedding, we don't have a heated pool. But that's not going to stop me to become the best. So for me, it's always to say, like, we are equal today. Whoever gets to the other side first is the winner.
How many other gold medal winners have we had in swimming who trained in South Africa rather than Penny Haynes, who trained in America?
Yeah. It will then only be Chad with his 2012 medal. But I think kind of what makes it special is that I was able to do it again, and that was from South Africa, where Chad has won previous medals, but he's never backed it up again with the Olympic medal. But both of us are very much more South African based, just to allow people to have that inspiration to say you can do it from home. You don't have to feel that when you want to take the next step in your career that you have to leave home, that you have to go overseas. Yes, there are definitely swimmers that want to experience the different culture, want to go to the American universities. It's very appealing because you get free scholarship, where I still at Tux, I mean, I'm super grateful for what Tux has done, but my dad still had to pay 70% of my study fees. So that is really like something you're tempted to go to because you're getting free scholarship. But what would I give back to South Africa? What would I give to people that don't have that opportunity to go overseas? Is to say, you know, you don't have to go there to be the best in the world. You can stay right here. And sometimes we're better as people. And I feel it brought out the best in me to stay at home, to see my parents over the weekend, to be amongst my friends and the culture that I know and the South African culture that we have. That's what made me the best version of me. So it's just allowing people to, or giving them that thing of you can do it if you wanted to. So yeah.
And it's a you know, that's inspiring, because we've had a day, in fact a day and a half, where we've been hearing more and more, hang on, we got to do this for ourselves. We got a guy in the White House, which some people here love, some people think he's a nutcase. We just don't know what the consequences are going to be of what he's doing. We've got to pick up, make our own future. And you've given us that inspiration that it can be done. But many athletes, many athletes, even Nas Buerta, when you go and play for the Dallas Cowboys. So many athletes see America as the ultimate. It's a place where there's a lot of money. Sport is just huge there. Swimming is huge. Can you give us some context on why you decided not to go there? Was it just not the good enough offer, or was money not a motivator?
For me, it was never, money was never the motivator. I think I'm very lucky and fortunate that my dad was able to fund me basically my entire career, where some people don't have that opportunity. So, but if we don't have people that like stay in South Africa to inspire that we can do it from here, then we don't feel like there is hope here. Then we do feel like it is a very negative and stuff. I would say that it wasn't a very easy journey, and we can definitely make it easier for the next generation and the next athletes coming into it, because I think what we have difference in South Africa is like knowing how to face adversity. I think the countries, they walk into an Olympic pool and it's just like, yeah. I think every single time I've walked in a swimming pool, like whether it's World Champs, Commonwealth Games, Olympics, everyone in the South African team or any African team like really walks out there, records every single moment, because this is incredible. Like, we've never seen a facility like this, where for them it's very much, yeah, this is okay, or oh, the pool is too shallow, and that's why we're swimming slow. Like, we didn't even notice the pool was shallow at Paris, to be honest. So I think that's the beauty of what we have from South Africa is just that resilience. But sometimes we tend to make it even harder for our athletes. We're like, oh, but we're resilient. We can do it anyway. So we're just going to stand and watch. But we need to support athletes because there comes a point in an athlete where you cannot go further without the support. You cannot go. And that's why athletes leave and why they go somewhere else is because there is more opportunities on that side. There is more help and support on a financial side because we all know sport is expensive. And if we don't put financial backing into it to even just maintain the swimming pools and stuff, then what facilities do we have? So then we don't have facilities, never mind being able to pay for food on the table. So I really think that it is always like it always, the grass always looks green on the other side, but it's because we're not watering our own grass. So why? Yeah. Yeah.
Take us back to the beginning. Your when the swimming bug, if there is such a thing, but.
Yeah, I think this is always a funny story because I really, in the beginning, didn't like swimming. My parents allowed me to do different sports in school, just be a kid. And I think I initially attracted to netball because it was a team sport. I playing with my friends, where swimming was very much individual and alone. So the netball side really drew me more than swimming. So I ended up going to a competition in Pretoria. At that time, I mean, I was still training three times a week. There was nothing special. I never made a South African team as a junior. But Rocco saw me at the Scala, my coach, my previous coach. He saw me and it wasn't that he saw me do well that he thought this girl has talent. Yes, we always say breaststroke chooses you. So I just had a really good technique, but he saw the fighting spirit in me, knowing that I'm only training three times a week, that I literally give everything in that swimming pool. And he approached us, obviously told my parents that there is the sports school. For my parents, that choice was just because the reason that they couldn't get me to the pool. I've never been in a school that swimming was a sport. So it was always club. So we always had to drive to the swimming pool. I needed a lift and my parents were working 8 to 5. So there was no chance of them getting me to the swimming pool. So yeah, the option of going to the sports school was very big for them if I wanted to pursue swimming. I remember having a family meeting and they're asking me, do I want to swim? And I was like, no, I want to play netball. They were like, oh, well, sorry, you're going to the sports school. And I mean, I can use that decision and a decision that was made on behalf of me for my life, either in a bad way or I can use it to really like do something with it. Yes, it wasn't necessarily the cards I wanted to be dealt. I wanted to play netball, but they saw something else in me that I obviously didn't see at that age. But going to the sports school, I then initially made that decision. I think obviously as a youngster, when you start doing well, you automatically love what you're doing. If you're good at maths, you know, I love maths. If you're good at art, you like art. So I started realizing I was quite good at swimming, and then I automatically started loving it. But yeah, I think that moment was where I was just like, you know, I was still trying to play netball when I was at Tux, but it just didn't work. And I realized, you know, I have to give 100% in this to know if it's going to work. Otherwise, there's no point. I'm always going to wonder what if. So I made that decision to fully commit to swimming. I started doing well, which was amazing, but I knew that the initial decision of me swimming because I was doing well wouldn't last, because in swimming and in any sport, it doesn't always go well and achievements can't really drive the passion. There has to be something bigger. There has to be a purpose behind your sport, why you're doing the sport. And in 2016, sorry, I'm like talking all over the place. In 2016, for Rio Olympic Games, we had trials. And at trials, I was the only place you can qualify for the Olympics. And 2 months before the trials, I ended up swimming a massive PB, swimming under the A qualifying time. And all of a sudden, Rio was on the cards. So a lot of pressure going into nationals. I was going to Olympics at the age of 19. My first, like, this is the biggest dream I've ever had. swam the heats, didn't make the time, swam the semifinals, didn't make the time. In the finals, I always laugh with breaststroke. This is kind of how it sounds when you're swimming. So people were going crazy, and I was like, oh my word, I'm about to like get the biggest dream of my life. Touched the wall, and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh no, that doesn't sound too great. I looked at the board, and the qualifying time for, let's say, for that time was a 2:25.95. I swam a 2:25.96. I missed it with one split second, and I didn't go to the Rio Olympics. So, yeah, that was very disappointing. But the beauty of like the challenges in life is that we learn things from it and we grow. And I learned, and I had to learn, that achievements couldn't be driving the passion, because I instantly hated swimming again. I didn't want to be at the pool. Rocco had to be my psychologist to just get me back to loving the sport again. And that's when I realized I needed a bigger reason for why I swam. And that's the one reason was obviously to just showcase and just glorify God in the talents that He's given me. And that's just by giving my best. Yeah, it was foremost, it was never about the medals, but just going out there, giving my best. And then secondly, it was to show that we can do it from South Africa. So those were really the things that I held on to. But yeah, I think I needed to go through that process for me to 4 years later win gold and break a world record when I just didn't qualify the previous Olympics. So yeah.
That's interesting, the point that you made. God had given you that talent. And I remember very clearly after the 1995 World Cup, when the Springboks won against all the odds, Jono Lomo, etc., the guys got together in a circle and they prayed. Often when you hear the best rugby player in the world, Peter Steph du Toit, on television, the first thing he says is, I want to thank God for my talent. You've never hidden that. And lots of sports people seem to have that faith, is that something that you come across often amongst athletes?
Yeah, I think especially now with the Paris Olympics, it's been very more spoken about and stuff. And I think it just really gives you more a sense of purpose in why you're doing what you're doing. Because for us, like, what do we define success as? Maybe as South Africa, I felt like success was winning only the gold medal. So if you're not winning the gold medal, you're not successful. But success looks completely different. I think success is just going out there, giving your best, and absolutely just glorifying Him by giving it your all. It doesn't matter what the results are, you're showing that. And I mean, coming second, it sucks. It really sucks losing. I wasn't like super happy about it, but I knew that the way I treated the person that won, it is an awesome experience to win. And the way she maybe experienced, the way I could celebrate her, giving that opportunity to celebrate someone else, was amazing. And I think for me, it was always, how can I like let people around the pool or watching swimming experience God's love, and just experiencing how much we have in Him, that it doesn't matter if you come second, doesn't matter if you don't even make the final, that you're still love and your identity is not in what you do. Swimming was always just been what I do. It's never who I am. So I think if you're going from a place like that, you end up performing so much more better, because I always believe a happy swimmer is a fast swimmer. So, yeah.
Was that what kept you going through what must have been tough times? You don't often come second, but there must have been times when, well, that one, what's it, 100th,
yeah.
100th of a second. It's almost inconceivable. Yes. It's like the big boss was saying, okay, I want you to get real good now. But what kept you going? Was that it? Was it your faith? Was it your passion? What can you share with us that maybe helps us through tough times?
Yeah, I definitely think it was the faith. Without His strength, I wouldn't have been able to face the things that I did and overcome them. I think we face many challenges as Olympic sports, as women in sports, and all those things add pressure. And just alone, I think if you ask anyone to go sit in an Olympic final, how much stress and pressure that is. So just the amount of calmness he's always given me. I think it's always asked in a question like, how do you handle pressure? How you, I just pray, because honestly, I wouldn't be able to do it by myself. If it wasn't for him just keeping me calm and really just trusting in the process and trusting that his way is going to be the right way, and it might not be what I wish, and I didn't make the Olympic team, and that was my biggest dream. You were so close, this close to reaching the dream that you wanted, but it wasn't his plan, and I'm very happy to just figure it out. It's not nice in those moments. I think even coming back from Tokyo, it's really facing that, like, what now? I mean, I've achieved the highest I've ever thought. Yeah, the moment of glory is so short. I think we like oversell how amazing this moment is. It doesn't really last long. And I think I was so, you're so driven to that. And then all of a sudden you don't have a goal. Like, what is my next goal? What is my next purpose? And I really had to sit down and, really pray about it and ask God, like, is there something you want out of Paris? Not medals. Do you want me to go to Paris? And it was, and he said yes. I don't know what the reason was, but here I am. I can sit on a stage, which I firstly never thought and never wanted to sit on. But I can be a voice for women in sport. I can be a voice for swimmers. I can use this platform now to help to lighten the burdens. And if that is the platform that he's given me through my achievements, then I'm super grateful and I'm going to use it as much as I can.
Let's talk about swimming South Africa. I have a little bit of experience during a couple of years that I worked in the corporate world. I worked at ABSA, who Corky says has had, what, more CEOs than people change underpants or something. But back in those days, it was different. And we sponsored Swimming South Africa. And it was always, there was an undertone, even then, and I'm talking about the 90s, mid-90s, of doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're even allowed to talk about these things, but you're out of the sport now. You've achieved everything. Is it moving in the right direction? Is there stuff that can be done? Because you almost feel like as a nation, we underachieve in swimming,
yeah,
in given the talent that we have.
Exactly. Yeah, and example, just like from Olympics, I think we're this almost like the second highest sport of bringing back medals. We always send the smallest team, so athletics is number one, but they end up sending about 40 athletes where, let's, for example, Paris, we were only eight swimmers. And from eight swimmers, you have two medals. So I think the ratio is pretty good. But I think just to give perspective is, As swimmers, we don't receive any salary. So we don't get any money from our federation. If you're comparing that to the top 10 Springbok athletes or players, just their salary alone 1 year is almost double the amount I've made in my whole career. So we really don't get the financial support. So swimming is really based on just our parents loving us so much and really believing in a dream for us and wanting us to experience that dream and using our talents, because I don't necessarily have the talent for finances. I don't necessarily have the talent, but I had talent for swimming and for my dad to really just be there through thick and thin, knowing that he would probably have to sponsor me until I'm 27 years old. I'm very grateful for. So I definitely think it is really sad because we have so much talent in the small pool that we have. Of course, there is so much space to create more opportunities for people to swim. I think especially in the rural areas where they don't have the opportunity to even learn how to swim. We haven't even touched, like, let's say 75% of the talent pool that we still have in South Africa for swimming. So I really just think that if we could get a support structure that really, like, is backing you, we all know that it's always about the journey and never about the celebration. I mean, this place alone, we had to change venue because of the amount of, like, support, but it's only after the victory. We never have people in the journey part. We never have the people supporting us for the 4 years. And that's where it really counts. That's where we lose athletes. That's when we have less swimmers reaching the highest levels, because you get to a point where you're like, you're not really sure how many athletes are actually successful, how many athletes actually do win a gold medal. But if you don't win a gold medal, there's no hope for you in making any funding. So then you get to a cross path with your parents as well. Like, okay, are you going to start a job now because the swimming thing? So then you want to still try with swimming, but you also know, I have to start working now because everyone at my age has been in 5 years experience in a work. I have to start from scratch. I have to study while I'm swimming, just to make sure that I could potentially make an income. So I think it has been challenging, and, we really hope that it does change. And how it's going to change, I really don't know. But I think if we have a program and something running, aligning the is putting them under pressure to say, how are we achieving this and creating this performance center and stuff? This is what you guys should be doing. And it kind of puts them under pressure to actually start doing something. So, yeah.
Isn't there maybe a deeper issue here with quite a few kids still drown every year?
Yeah, I think the ratio in South Africa is 4 people a day drown in South Africa. So it's massive. And you would assume that it's mostly kids, but I think it's maybe like 2 out of the 4 kids, but then it's actually 2 out of 4 are adults. So it's really a lot of people that we are missing. So of course we want to create that. I think it's creating that opportunity for a basic life skill of like learning how to swim, and then potentially seeing if they love the water as much as we as swimmers do and potentially want to like pursue a career in swimming. But if I'm sitting on a stage, I'm not confident enough. If there is actually a career for you in swimming, if you're not winning any medals, then it's really hard to convince people to actually choose swimming as a sport. We all know the benefits of sports, and whether it's team sport or individual sports, just the mental side of the benefits, the emotional side, the characteristics that you build in the ups and downs in sports is just amazing for life in general. And that's what I'm so grateful for, because that's ultimately what I'm taking from swimming is the characteristics that I've built. The achievements are now in the cupboard. We don't really speak about it, but now it's who I've become through swimming that I can take into life. And that is what sport creates. And that's what swimming gave me. But now, do I convince people to go into the swimming route if I know what's on the back side of it? I know there's not much support. So will people be able to enjoy the sport for what it is? Because if you're not having the support, it really takes away the joy and the love for the sport. You just want to play the sport. You want to do what you're good at, and know that you're still getting food on the table. But if you have that in your mind and you know that that's not really happening, then you don't really want to pursue something in swimming. So I think, it's just creating those opportunities. And
so what's it taught you? What life skills have you acquired through achieving global excellence in your line of focus?
Yeah, I think it's obviously taught me resilience. It's taught me perseverance, that life isn't just all good times, always compared to a heartbeat. I think if we expect life to be a straight line, we ultimately did, because a heartbeat goes up and down. And just like that, life has its ups and its downs. So I think it's taught me that. It's definitely taught me teamwork. Even though swimming is very much individual, it really takes a team and a village to get there. It takes believing in the same dream, but pushing each other to reach the best version of yourself, but also then trying to achieve your goal as well, I think. So it's definitely, now with the perseverance, and the thing is standing here having uncomfortable conversations, but I'm not going to have a conversation and leave. We need to do something. I'm going to push and push and push. So unfortunately, that's what it gave me, but it's so good because it's given me skills that I can now use, and it's given me this platform. Swimming has pushed me in a direction. If you saw my interviews in, I would say, 2018, I was terrible. I would sit here on stage shaking, and it just gave me the comfort of just telling my story. And now allowing this space and this opportunity to speak in front of everyone, to tell my story, to say we need help, we need to help the next generation make their life easier so that they can ultimately achieve and experience what I have, because there's nothing as great as being part of Team South Africa. Even just being part of the team is amazing, never mind standing on the podium, singing the national anthem and knowing, almost hearing the sounds echo from South Africa. It is like goosebumps moments, and you want people to experience that. So how can we get more champions? I mean, if we are achieving so much with the little that we have, how much more can we achieve if we had more? So
yo, we got lots of questions. Might be keeping you all night. Let's start off with Justin. He says, water polo is desperately trying to break away from Swimming South Africa because they are doing such a terrible job at managing Water Polo SA. How do you feel they did for Swimming SA?
Yeah, I think it's devastating. All aquatic sports at the moment are just really struggling. I think for diving, I think you only have two pools in the whole of South Africa that you can actually go practice diving because they're all empty. Actually, just a few months ago, the only one of the pools in Pretoria, we have two 50-meter pools, LC, which we train in, which you can't actually compete in because it's exactly 50 meters. So they didn't, at that time when they built it, they didn't know that touch pads were going to come in. So even if you put a touch pad in, it makes it shorter than 50 meters. So we can't actually race it without the proper equipment. So if we do race there, we're literally racing against the tiles and the walls just to make it a fair thing. But the only other pool we had was Hillcrest Swimming Pool. And I've gone from Joburg when I was still a little kid, and that's where Rocco spotted me, is in the Hillcrest pool. It's completely empty. And it's devastating because we only have so many pools, 50-meter pools, that we can actually race in, and now they're empty. So the same with diving, the same with water polo. There's the facilities that we can use. There's only two options. So you're either moving to Pretoria to go swim at LC, or you can't even go to Kings Park. That pool is also not working. So PE. So you have two options. So you kind of have to leave home then. Then it's not really creating hope that you can stay at home. So yeah, it is very devastating with all aquatic sports that we've been struggling, and we're all having our own battles to fight. And no one can really be positive because we're all struggling.
Well, there's a lot of work for the GNU to do on that one. Alison Dacel wants to know, did you consciously decide to work towards the Olympics early on, or was it a matter of the road opening up as your career progressed?
I definitely think it's a matter of the road opening up. Obviously, as a young kid, when you watch the Olympics, you're like, oh, that's the ultimate dream. But for me, as a random girl from Roodepoort, is really not going to think that the chances are really great for me to be that person, never mind winning a medal or breaking world records. So I think it is always a dream, and it's that ultimate dream you wish you can achieve. But anything, all the small goals of getting there, I felt I could have left the sport just as happy, because those small goals that you achieve every day is greatness that you're achieving every day. You're becoming the best version of yourself. So it was definitely a space that had to open up for me to realize. I think I actually had a conversation with my dad the one night, and I asked him, did you ever hype me up? Because I don't feel like you've ever mentioned, like, you are going to the Olympics, I can see this. Like, he never ever said that. And I was like, yeah, you never said it. I think it had to become a reality before we really like spoke it into, because you don't want that disappointment of not having to make it, or your whole life is like this one focus. Yes, of course, it's an awesome goal to have, but we all know that not everyone achieves it. But am I going to be happy with the smaller goals that I'm achieving every day, the growth that I'm making, and just how proud my parents were in general for me? I think taking on a decision of swimming when it wasn't really my decision, and just trying to make the best out of it, was, I think, already a characteristic built in me, to give everything. I'm someone that gives 100% or nothing. So if I'm in this doubting, then you know I'm not really sure, am I going 100% for this, because there's no 50-50 for me. So yeah.
Inga Mfundisi asks, she says, Tatiana, your achievements have inspired countless young South Africans, particularly women and girls, to pursue their dreams in sport. What do you think needs to change in our country's sports ecosystem to address the disparities and challenges that young athletes from disadvantaged backgrounds face? And how can we work together to create a more inclusive and supportive environment for talent to thrive?
Yeah, I think the amazing thing that is that there is so many things to do. And I was at a conference the other day of them speaking very like more the business side of sports and how we can grow and the grassroots and stuff. But ultimately, you want someone to be in a place what that you can aspire to, inspire to be like. If you don't have that, who do you look up to want to be there? So it is creating those people for the young generation to look up to and say, you know, I can pursue this. But there is so many things and unfair things in sports, whether it's the financial side, whether it's women in sports. So there are so many system errors or things that are wrong and in place. And it's not that for even my fight for women in sports is that we don't, it's not necessarily that we want to get paid higher. It's just, we just want to be paid equally and to say that we can create a career out of swimming or out of a sport. I think it just provides that opportunity. I'm like lost in track. Yeah. But I think for me, what I've noticed is there's a lot of talk and we celebrate the things, the milestones, for example, like say women in sports, the milestones of 50% participation at the Olympics. But nothing from the financial side has changed. So 50% participation is just because women generally just persevered through this and they wanted to achieve the things they set out to do. But we need less talking and more action, to be honest, because we celebrate, we say all these amazing stats, but actually, in the back end, the support's still not there. We're just doing it by ourselves and actually doing it still with no support. So, I definitely would say watch this space, that we are kind of done waiting and we need to start taking action. And I know it's always, that's the scary part is no one wants to take the lead, but someone's got to have to. So who knows?
Watch the space. Sean Ingalls says, after your races, it's so touching to watch your big smile and camaraderie with other swimmers. Tell us about your relationships with your competitors.
yeah, I wouldn't say we're like friends. it's still competition. And I mean, even my fellow teammates, Kayleen, she's always in the race with me. We know that before we go to the core room, we say good luck and then we're on our own because you need to do what you need to do to get focused, to stay. This is a race. We'll celebrate at the end. And I think that was always the thing is during the race, we focus and stuff. But at the end of the race, I'm happy to celebrate whether it's someone else winning or just that camaraderie of like celebrating each other's victories was very special. And I think that at Tokyo, there was that moment where the four girls came together, the two Americans and two South Africans. And it actually became a Coca-Cola global Olympic campaign. We had to hug about 200 times to recreate this ad. so even with Lily King, when we saw each other, we had this inside joke, hug, hug, but we actually didn't even hug because we were so over hugging each other. So I definitely think that was a special part. I think with the new generation coming up, you can see the shift, which was very different for me. In Paris, it wasn't as much as in Tokyo. Tokyo, we really, everyone celebrated each other, where I would say Paris wasn't as nice. But for me, it was always, no matter whether they celebrate me or not, it really doesn't matter. I'm there. I want to celebrate them. What they've achieved is amazing. Just being in the final is incredible. So, I just felt like if I want to show people God's love, I have to take ownership of it and show.
Timothy Mayer says, well done and thanks for inspiring so many youngsters. My son is a big fan. I hope Timothy is too. He trains 3 hours, Monday to Saturday. Swimming takes so much dedication. What pearl of wisdom can you give him? And he's asked me to ask you, How do you control your breathing during competitions, and how did you perfect your stroke?
Awesome. I think for me, my advice would be just focusing on your own journey. I think focusing on your own unique strength. I think sometimes we want to look or do something else that someone else is. Yeah, it's great to be inspired by different athletes, but you bring something else to the pool and you have some unique stroke. I mean, after Tokyo, they were analyzing my race saying I have this late breath. I didn't even know my stroke was different to everyone else's stroke, but I had this unique late breath that they thought this is the way of swimming breaststroke all of a sudden. And then I focused so much on it that I actually ended up destroying my stroke because I was thinking maybe I should strengthen my strength, but it actually just comes naturally. So allow yourself to figure out what works for you. I felt like I was never like, this is the only way. Be willing to grow, be willing to change and adapt, because I've gone many times and I see, okay, the one girl does a pull out together and the other one doesn't. And I'm like, okay, but I've been doing it together. I've never tried the separate one. Then I go to the pool, I do the separate one and the together, and then I time myself by 15 meters and then I realize, well, even though I come out, though I know everyone's very upset because my underwaters are terrible, but I know that I'm faster on top of water. So even though it looks like I'm coming out way like back compared to the rest of the field, I knew my time to the 15 meter is faster. And then I changed it and then I practiced it every day in training because that was something that I knew made me better, but I wasn't like, you know, this is the only way, this is my only stroke, I'm not changing it. So it's adapting, learning all the small things to improve yourself, and not comparing your journey to someone else. Some people drop off time like this. Some people are at 12 and swimming like 9 sessions a week. I only started swimming 8 sessions a week and 2 gym sessions, so 10 sessions a week only when I was 15. So a lot of the time the girls are swimming with me and they're these youngsters, 12, 13, and they're doing the exact same program. And I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. So do what works for you, what makes you happy. I think later on you can really get more into like the seriousness and the more intense stuff. Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
No, exactly.
Kirsty Coventry, I actually met her in Davos this year.
Yeah.
What a lovely lady.
No, she's amazing.
She said to me she was watching TV and the minister, the new president, said, and our minister of sport is Kirsty Coventry. She never even knew that she was going to be brought in. So she was then pushed into the cabinet as an independent, ZANU PF, and she's doing a fantastic job.
No, it's
She's standing for IOC.
President,
how's that going? What's happening there?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, I've just like from what she's achieved, I think she's the most decorated African Olympian, which is incredible. And I think just to give you again, just like the things we face as African athletes or African, I mean, for us swimmers is just, I know there's like a world awards of like athlete of the year and female athlete of the year. And to know that she's the most decorated, there's never an Africa, anyone from Africa on those lists ever. For example, she's probably, I mean, she's more decorated than me, but as a South African, I have more individual medals than the most decorated Australian Olympian. But it's not spoken about because, again, South Africa is a small country. No one wants to bring it up. But, like, how much more hope can we bring to people in Africa to say, like, wow, look at Kirsty Coventry's achievements. Like, she's, well, better than most of the other swimmers, to see that and to see her name amongst those high swimmers. But we never get the recognition. We never get to be on those stages with the rest of the world because we're always seen as this inferior country. So I think our achievements speak for us, but it is also sad to see in the world that we don't get the recognition that we deserve, especially for her. But I mean, now she's making a massive impact and she's trying to, you know, do the IOC president. And it just shows you that we have that fight. We want to see sport grow in Africa, and we're using the platforms that we've been given. Even though nothing was for us, we're still using it to inspire the next generation.
For those who don't know, Kirsty Coventry is Zimbabwean, and she literally did not know that she was going to be their Minister of Sport. But she says that Zim also gets a bad rap. We'll hear from Trevor Ngobe tomorrow what he thinks about that. He said, everything we try, we don't seem to get any support. And that's for her achievements and what she, from Zim as well, must have been a bit of a role model.
It's amazing. And that's why I say, like, I generally, I'm so interested in looking at the facts, because you have these this amazing athlete, and she wasn't celebrated like once, and she's not amongst those names. And I think we, even as like for in our industry and swimmers, we look up to so many of the other athletes of other countries that we don't even realize that like our own country or our own like continent's athletes have achieved greater things than them. It's just not spoken about as much. I know that one stats, and I mean, it's super awkward, but I am the most decorated, like tied with other guy from Japan, breaststroke Olympian in history, but we don't know that. So no. No, I'm just saying it because we always look up to these swimmers, and I know there's so many swimmers, even in my own mind, thinking like, oh my word, this swimmer is insane, but we've achieved way more than that. Kirsty Coventry, even way more than that. So it's just sad to see that we don't get celebrated, we don't get the recognition for it, even in the world of swimming, because it could do so much more and it could inspire so much. So Africa is a massive continent, and just imagine what it can change in every person in Africa to see that this person is amongst the top, but we don't see it. So then we idolize or we're inspired by other swimmers, which do amazing things, but it's not the same because we don't even recognize our own talents and our own things. Yeah.
Rory Steyn, who's going to be talking tomorrow evening, says, I was there when the men's relay gold was won with Rijk Nietling and co. And Gerrit Lumpen actually posted it first. He said, how big do you think that was when they won that gold?
Yeah, I think for any sport, any medal and any victory like that is inspiring, because it's the next boys that look up to that. It's saying that we can do it. I mean, I was sitting on the couch at the new sports school watching the Olympics and seeing Chad win, and I was like, wow, if he can do it, then I can do it. So that's really just like, it gives you that confidence that if someone like him and from South Africa can do it amongst the best in the world, amongst Michael Phelps, then I could potentially be that person as well. So we need those moments of inspiration. And we know, like, when the box come back, like how inspired we all feel, like we're part of that team. And that's what sport brings us. And we want to bring that more to South Africa. We want it to last longer. We don't, for Olympic sports, we are always told and said, like, take as much in as you can, because we know the spotlight dims very quick with Olympic sports. In 2028, let's say May, 2 months before Olympics, you'll know that the Olympics is happening this year. But during that time period, we don't, where maybe with other sports, it's celebrated. You know, when 2023 started, you know, this is the World Cup year, we are going to do it. So it's really just, yeah, bringing more light to the Olympic sports, because we can't all play rugby and we all can't play cricket, but there's so many different varieties of sports in Olympics that we could potentially be good at, and we want people to support us and walk the journey with us too.
You mentioned Chad a couple of times, and of course his father Bert and his unbelievable video. Yeah. What's your dad's word? Does he have an unbelievable word for you?
My dad, no, he's always my dad. He's quite a big guy, but he's quite a big steady base. So I just know that's why most of the time I'm crying, because I know my dad is bawling his eyes out. And so he never gets any word out when he sees me. It's just like the tears start going. So then I know it's telepathic.
Oh, that is beautiful. Rory says the IOC presidential election is in 2 weeks' time in Greece. Amazing. Thanks, Rory.
Yeah.
Go Kirsty. Well, she would be definitely the first woman, wouldn't she?
That would be amazing. Yeah, I think so.
I think so. And
it would be amazing because it's an African, it's someone that understands, because I think that's where the difficulty, like there's decisions made or things based on no understanding. And that's why just in general, like when we're having conversations of athletes and what I've said, even coming back from the Olympics, give the athletes a seat at the table, people that understand. So I think it would be amazing to have her in that position because she would understand the African perspective. She would understand that it's not as glorious on this side and how can we help. So I think hopefully she will push it a lot.
I think we have another medalist in this room. Another swimming medalist. Did you meet her?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Come forward, please.
Amazing. That's awesome.
You see, I do read my emails. Susan,
amazing.
Would you like to...
Nervous. Oh, wow, so special.
Would you like to tell us a bit about your story?
Yes. I was in the team that went to the Olympic Games in 1956.
Amazing.
We were 51 in the team, in the whole Olympic team. It took out 4 days to get to Melbourne. And then we stayed in a small little village of 3,500 athletes. Yeah. We just had a wonderful time.
Oh, that's amazing.
I think the best moment for me was actually marching into that stadium, because in those days we had to practice marching first so we could all march in time in the village behind a broom with our captain in the front. And then we had very smart uniforms, high heels, little hats, handbags even. And we marched all beautifully into the stadium. Actually, we waited outside. South Africa always comes at the end. And so as we came in, there was the most amazing roar. They thought we were the Australians. Because they also had the same uniform. Anyway.
And then we... How did you do?
Well, we one of us got into a final. That was Toy Myberg. But we were four girls. Sorry. We were four girls, and we came third in the 4x100 freestyle relay. I've got a medal at home. And the funny thing is, I've just been asked to give a talk about what happened to me at our church to the old ladies. And I'm going to tell them the story and I will show them the medal.
Amazing.
Thanks.
So okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there we go. How's that for a moment?
No, yeah, that's...
Thank you, Susan.
Yeah.
Wow. And a bronze medalist from 1950?
Six, I think.
56?
Yeah.
Melbourne.
Amazing.
And at these Olympics, because it was French.
I know, that was the best part, Afri de Soot, so we were right in the front.
And was there a big roar when you went into... I know, you were on the
pad. I know, unfortunately, with swimming, we start day one, so no swimmers ever go to the opening ceremony. And then also 24 hours after you compete, you kicked out of the village because they need the beds for the next group coming in, so... Yeah, your Olympic moments is that week that you participate, or the 2 days if you day one and you don't make the semi-final or final, then the next day you're heading home already. So we don't get to watch the opening ceremony, the closing ceremony. So it is really sad. But of course, with my luck, in 2028, they are swapping the athletics and the swimming. So now we can go to the opening ceremony and we can go to the closing ceremony, but I won't be there.
You're not coming out of retirement for that.
Maybe just for that.
It's been such a joy talking with you. It's been lovely having Susan come up on stage as well as a member of the BizNews tribe. Tatjana, in whatever you do from here, I know you're going to be successful. To you and Joel, all the very best, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here. And get to shop more here. And do more here. And enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here, on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
In the world of business banking, projections, numbers, and your bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. That's why we understand that running a successful business takes endurance, drive, and partners who are willing to walk the journey with you. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
Downings is South Africa's leading marquee infrastructure company, proudly celebrating 25 years of excellence. Renowned for creativity, innovation, and unmatched technical expertise, our event marquees and semi-permanent structures elevate any project with style and sophistication. Whether it's a corporate event or a commercial project, we tailor every structure to meet your needs with world-class precision. Visit downings.co.za to consult with our expert team. Downings, your trusted marquee specialists nationwide.